Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Siri.
Morena, my friends, how are you?
Oh, we're so good. We're really good. How are you?
Good. I've been loving catching up on the bus this weekend.
The notorious bus. Do you reckon we should write a book about it? I reckon it deserves a book.
Fully. I think either a book or like a 5-part podcast, I would be all ears or eyes in. Yeah.
I reckon as soon as we get over like the initial kind of trauma of the whole ordeal. Yes. Well, we're here to talk a book.
Shadow Ticket. Thomas Pynchon's first, I think, in over a decade.
Wow.
He is 88 years old. Whoa. So, okay. I mean, I don't want to put anything out into the world prematurely, but I think this might be his last. And he's still got it. So if you haven't heard of Thomas Pynchon before, he's done a few books that have been like kind of American literary canon, but also have been turned into films. So Mason Dixie is like a very well-loved one that he's done. Inherent Vice, I think probably a few people have watched the film. And then also he's again like outside of Shadow Ticket, he's sort of like had a repopularization with the new Paul Thomas Anderson film One Battle After Another, which is based on his book Vineland. So Thomas Pynchon's in the air, and Shadow Ticket is great. So I think before you dive into any Thomas Pynchon book, it's really important to remember he is a real absurdist at heart. But there's like a method to the madness, so there'll always be like a million different things going on, a lot of weird plot devices that feel like it takes you everywhere, but then by the time you get to an end, you're like, oh, like I see how like all of these moving parts came together to tell like one overarching story about where America is today. And Shadow Ticket feels like that, even though it's not set in modern day America. It's set in the 1930s in the American Midwest, Chicago, and it follows like a private eye, Hicks McTaggart. And this is like, you know, Prohibition era America. Al Capone's just been imprisoned, and it's like jazz everywhere, and it feels like that. There's actually like so much. There are so many jazz lyrics in this book.
Wow.
I love that.
Those sounds like a bit of you, Rosetta.
Some of them are like kind of silly. Actually, a lot of them are silly.
A lot of jazz lyrics are silly, to be honest.
Yes.
That's why scatting is a thing.
So
we're not listening for the lyrics.
Come on.
Very good point. And it's like, yeah, it feels so alive in that way, you know? It's like everything about the novel, like from the dialogue, from the setting, from like the, you know, like seedy little Prohibition underground bars that they're at, all feels, it like plunges you into that world immediately. And it did also take me, I guess like the 30s, they had like really weird, it's like certain dialectical things that I was like, what does that mean? But I don't think you need to really know to enjoy the novel. And so it follows, it starts off where like Hicks McTaggart, he's sort of on the run already. He just gets mixed up in, you know, he gets mixed up with this bootlegger and sort of makes money off of this guy and never returns it. And so he's already on the lookout for himself, and that's like one of the early minor sort of plot devices. But the major one, his boss assigns him on this case where this woman who's like the cheese heiress of the American Midwest is kidnapped, which is like a massive deal because apparently the cheese industry was really vital to America in the 1930s. It was big news for me.
Yeah, which is weird because you think of American cheese and you're like,
yuck.
Velveeta?
Yeah, totally.
Ooh, if you don't know what that is, don't look it up before you have breakfast.
And I so remember being in the States, being at at diners and having that like real plasticky like violet.
How
yellow.
Is it that yellow?
Yeah.
What are they?
It's not
doing?
Right. It's not right.
If only we could ask the American cheese heiress. So
but she's kidnapped.
She's kidnapped. We can't. So, yeah, she's like the major plot device. But, of course, no Thomas Pynchon novel has like a linear kind of plot structure. Mm-hmm. And he gets he's sort of involved in all of these weird schemes. And on the way to like finding her, he finds himself amongst like, you know, Soviet spies and agents. He finds himself in Hungary. There's like all of these kind of really interesting American you know, American political tensions happening in like Eastern Europe, and all of that sort of finds itself mingled up in this kidnapping. And I, one battle after another, also the film feels like so like that. But yeah, it's like this really great caper. There's like this kind of conspiratorial heart to it, you know. It's about how all of these things, all of the overarching sort of big political things that happen in any given country are also connected to like the smaller industrial shifts, you know, the organized crime shifts. Everything is sort of like in this cohesive flux together. So it feels really, it feels like this kind of heaving organism of a novel. We're like, yeah, it's so good and so funny and bizarre and absurd. And I think, like, this might be a stretch to say, but I also think it sort of makes this really interesting, or I finished the book feeling like it made this really interesting point as well about how, you know, America was always coming towards the point of Donald Trump. And
right.
In the ways that these, like, big industrial barons and, you know, the shift towards sort of mass consumption and mass manufacturing was always going to create this uneasy relationship between the so-called free citizens of America and then the American government. But also that, like, you know, the politics that we don't see that happens, you know, maybe like more in the shadows, that sort of politics and international relations also has like a deep impact on us in ways that we don't even think about. And I wondered if that was like the seed that was in his head that made him write this, because I think some of the earlier reviews sort of talked about how it feels somehow of like a novel of today, but doesn't offer any like prescriptive notes on how to deal with it. But I don't think that's the point of a Pynchon novel. He's not there to give like solutions or say this is how it should be. It's just very much about look how crazy this place is. And I guess in his 88 years of life, that's just never not been true.
Wow. Oh, it sounds like a heavy juicy.
Yeah, real hectic.
Awesome. Good. So this is in store at Timeout Bookstore.
In store now. I think we may have sold out of our first lot of copies, but I think our next lot's coming in soon. I'd really recommend like a pre-order. Put your name down and just to make sure you get one.
They're friendly. They won't bite. Put your name down. Oh, it sounds like an awesome read.
And definitely time to start putting in some Christmas shopping orders.
Definitely time to do that. We've people are always kind of surprised, but shipping hasn't really changed much since COVID, so everything still takes like 6-ish weeks to get into us. So if there's something that you're desperately wanting to get before Christmas, come see us and we'll hopefully get you sorted. Also love to give, like, if that's okay, a very quick shout out to my friend Oscar Mardell, who also has written an absurdist novel non-fiction. I don't know how you would categorize it exactly, but it's about New Lynn, and he's having a launch at the Hollywood.
The shadow ticket of New Lynn?
The shadow ticket of New Lynn, yeah. If you're interested in having, like, a weird, wonderful night, I think it's, like, in a couple of weeks at the Hollywood, but I'll leave some of the details with you guys just if anyone's interested.
Oh, please do. He's... I love New Lynn.
Me too.
Who doesn't love a bit of Lynn more?
Yeah. Crown Lynn factory there. Love it. Love it.
Brilliant. Yep. Well, it sounds like a real time. We'll definitely get the details from you. Thank you so much, Suri.
Thank you.
That was Loose Reads. Thanks. Time out.
That was Loose Reads.